So Peter Steinberger, the guy who invented OpenClaw, works at OpenAI now, he posted a screenshot of his dashboard of token consumption in the last month. In the last 7 days, Peter spent $250,000 on tokens. In the last 30 days, he spent $1.3 million on tokens. And before you get your pitchforks out, understand that Pete was doing a science experiment. It was a noble mission. He asked, how would we build software in the future if tokens didn't matter? Which is just wonderful. It's like a crack dealer asking, how would society look if crack were free? I want, you know, that's, I do wonder, has that been tried? How would we build houses if wood didn't matter? Would that solve the housing crisis? I keep hearing about this housing crisis and these rocket ships that Elon is sending into space. I mean, how much are these costing, dude? Just pretend like gravity didn't matter. Problem solved, bro. AI is here and you will not be able to afford it. It's not for you. And I know what you might be thinking. You're probably thinking, well, aren't tokens getting cheaper? Isn't the trajectory going to be some kind of Moore's law of diminishing costs until the stuff is basically free? And the answer to that is one of the biggest deceptions running in the industry. Not an intentional one, but a very sneaky one, because there's been two pricing charts. There's been one for the lower end models. Those prices have been going down or staying the same more or less. But they made a new chart, which is the model that you actually have to use if you want to do any meaningful work. The price of those tokens have been going way up. In fact, from GPT 5.4 to 5.5, the price of tokens has doubled. And with Anthropic's Opus 4.7, the price stayed the same from 4.6, but they introduced a new tokenizer, which results in 35% longer responses. So the price of AI is going up, not down. OpenRouter did a study and they looked at what GPT 5.5 actually costs. The cost of GPT 5.5 compared to 5.4 was 49 to 92% higher. And so, one, I want you to shed the notion that you have in your mind that AI is probably going to get cheaper, that it's going to be more affordable, that everyone will be able to do what Peter's doing now. That doesn't look like it's going to be the case. I mean, Mythos is so tantalizingly locked up that Andrej Kropathy just announced that he's joining Anthropic to get access to the model. He's like, dude, I can't figure out what's happening here with this open access shit, like Opus 4.7, dude. Like, he felt like he was getting left behind. He had to join the company. I mean, in the future, Anthropic and OpenAI are going to be the only employers at this rate. Meanwhile, Eric Schmidt, the former CEO of Google, has a net worth of $30 billion. I'm sure you've all seen this by now. He's giving a commencement address to the University of Arizona kids. And he says, say yes to the rocket ship. Every time he says the word AI, the crowd starts booing. And he's saying the rocket ship is AI. And he's like, when someone tells you to get on the rocket ship, you don't ask which seat. The problem is the rocket ship only has three seats. And you and Dario and Sam have already occupied the rocket ship. The rocket ship's already taken off, and this guy's looking down in the window. He's like, get on, get on. And the kids are like, where, dude? There's no room. He's like, you're not seeing the opportunity. And the rocket just takes off, dude. The exhaust sets fire to the entire stadium. Eric writes on the window, the future is unwritten. And so in reference to AI, he said in this speech, I know what many of you are feeling about it. I can hear you. And it's like, well, they're not exactly whispering, Eric. They're audibly booing. This is not a subtle cue, bro. Like, he's like, I'm sensing something. There is a disturbance in the room. There was an exact moment where you sense that Eric was like, oh shit, I wrote the wrong speech for this occasion. At some point, maybe at the first or second time he said AI and they started booing, he's like, interesting, interesting.
Architects of artificial intelligence. Interesting.
That's probably the exact moment the bubble popped right there. He's like, I love AI and I hate all of you and they're paying me a lot of money to be here and none of you are gonna get hired after this. And they boo and he's like, wait, what? Wait, you guys wanted jobs? And I'm trying to think, like, you know, if you're an 18-year-old kid now, what do you learn? What do you practice? Like, you don't have hundreds or thousands of dollars to spend a day. Do you do everything by hand? If your goal is to, you know, make a little money, you need to iterate towards product market fit as quick as possible. And AI does help you just throw darts, right? It can ship something really, really quick and see if there's a market demand for your product before you invest all this time coding this up by hand. I mean, my first app decades ago took me a full year to write, and if I try to do it now, it would take me half an hour, literally. And after that full year, the app failed, because I didn't know what I was doing, and now I could learn that lesson very quickly. And so someone who does have the money to spend on tokens will be able to iterate towards PMF way quicker than you. And then you have Mitchell Hashimoto, the founder of HashiCorp, which was acquired by IBM. He's the creator of Gosi, the terminal app that a lot of people are using now. And what he's saying is that there's a whole swath of companies that have AI psychosis now as a whole. And he's saying what these companies are doing now is that they're optimizing for fixing issues quicker rather than having less issues, because AI sucks at not creating issues. That's what it does. It's like a bug machine, right? But it's really good at fixing issues very quickly. Look no further than Anthropic, who leads the way in actually having a lot of bugs and taking a long time to solve them. So I don't know where they lie on this spectrum, to be honest. A lot of companies have a hypothesis for a feature that in theory should increase revenue, but a lot of times companies will work on features that they ship that don't end up improving the bottom line at all. And so I think companies would prefer to ship something that's slightly more buggy if they could do it in 1/10 the time. And if there are issues, fix them after. Airbnb CEO Brian Chesky was on a podcast, and what he says is that as long as you're a smart person who's willing to adapt and change, regardless of which direction it may go in, you're going to be perfectly fine. And I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, we have these tools that all of a sudden, in theory, make people more productive and faster. And it's like, well, we're going to need a lot more people, right? And look, ultimately, I haven't solved the dilemma of AI being for the rich by the rich. It's depressing, man. I'm not going to sit here and try to come up with some comforting tale about how this can all play out in a way that would be better for all of us. Not only is AI not getting cheaper, but also I don't see an incentive for it to be cheaper. And so all I know is the turtleneck. You put on the turtleneck and you go and you forward deploy yourself. And I was joking before, and now I'm not. Thanks for watching.